This is WSIU in Focus. I'm Jennifer Fuller. The Illinois House of Representatives last night passed a $5 billion income tax increase and a spending plan for the state's new fiscal year as a group of 15 House Republicans broke ranks with Governor Bruce Rauner and joined the chamber's Democratic majority in a bid to end the two-year-old budget stalemate. Jack Titchener is interim director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute and is in studio with the latest. Jack, it's a huge development. There's a lot more that needs to be done before the impasse is broken for good, but this is a step.
It is indeed a very big step, but there's a lot of heavy lifting yet to be done at the Capitol. Governor Rauner, of course, last night immediately vowed to veto the measure if it reaches his desk. So the bipartisan coalition that passed the tax hike and the spending plan in the House is going to have to stick together to override the veto. The 72-45 tax vote is actually one more than the 71 votes needed to override a veto, so there's one to spare. The Senate has still to take up the plan, and they need to pass it with at least 36 votes on their side of the building, and same thing to override if the governor follows through on his threat. Even so, last night's action is the closest thing we've actually come to finally ending this thing, and it essentially came down to lawmakers voting their districts in voting for that $5 billion budget and the taxes to support it. The measure permanently raises the individual rate for income taxes from 3.75% to 4.95%. It bumps the state's corporate tax rate from 5.25% to 7%. Governor Rauner, as you'll call, had insisted upon a temporary four-year income tax increase paired with a four-year property tax freeze. Neither of those was part of the House revenue measure last night, although a property tax freeze could still be part of the final package, as well as finding a way to pay down the state's massive backlog of overdue bills. That's over around $15 billion. Following the tax vote, the actual budget passed by an even larger margin of 81 to 34. The $36 billion House budget is about $1 billion less than the budget that was approved by the Senate Democrats last month, and that, of course, still needs Senate concurrence.
Sure. So what finally changed the minds or moved the needle here?
Well, several things. There was the very real threat of the state's credit rating being downgraded to junk bond status, and, of course, on Friday, the federal judge in Chicago, Judge Lefko, decided to force the state to speed up billions of dollars in payments owed to the state's Medicaid providers. But what I think you really saw was lawmakers voting their districts. Many of the 15 House Republicans who broke with the governor last night have state universities in their backyards, like Terry Bryant of Murfreesboro. Bryant on the floor acknowledged that her vote for the tax increase might well get her primaried, but she believed that raising taxes was necessary to bring the university back to what it was and help the mom-and-pop vendors who haven't been paid for goods and services provided to the state. Others in that group include Representative Noreen Hammond from Western Illinois University at Macomb, Reggie Phillips from Eastern Illinois University's hometown of Charleston, Representative Bob Pritchard from Hinckley. He's a next-door neighbor to DeKalb's Northern Illinois University. Mike Fortner of West Chicago is a retired physics professor from NIU. Sarah Wojcicki-Jimenez, whose district in the Springfield area is home to thousands of state employees, they have a stake in the outcome of all this. She voted for the tax increase, as well as John Cavalletto of Salem and David Rice of St. Marie.
It's a lot of names that carry some pretty big weight.
Well, some of those are actually on House Republican leader Jim Durkin's leadership team. There are at least a couple of the assistant Republican leaders who voted for the tax increase.
This wasn't a sure bet. Was it a surprise?
Kind of, in some respects. Speaker Madigan had said on Saturday that he didn't really expect to vote until Monday, while the negotiations continued behind the scenes on some of these so-called non-budgetary items that the governor was insisting upon. Madigan signaled a change of heart, though, later in the day on Saturday when his members told him that they thought there could be enough Republican votes to put the measure over the top. And as we saw, that's what happened.
So you mentioned that this all needs to go to the Senate, could come up as early as today. Mm-hmm. What are these next steps going to look like?
Well, the focus goes to the Senate, where we've been talking about 36 votes are needed to guarantee a veto-proof supermajority. You also need 36 votes for the bill to take effect immediately, meaning the budget bill. Democrats hold a 37-vote supermajority in the Senate, but the tax increase that passed out of the Senate last month was 4 votes shy of 36, and it's not clear if those votes are going to change. So, even so, it's possible the bills might pick up a handful of Republican votes, kind of like the House, as what happened in the House, because a lot of the Senate Republicans also have state universities and community colleges in their districts.
We've seen Senate Republican leader Christine Rodogno resign over the weekend. Senator Bill Brady is apparently going to take over that position. Does that change things in any way?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. Brady still hasn't been officially confirmed as the Senate Republican leader. That has to take place in the Senate, but you know, he does have quite, he was unanimously chosen for that post to follow Christine Rodogno in that seat, so it's clear he still has quite a bit of influence.
Sure. Jack Titchener is the interim director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute and host of Illinois Lawmakers on public television. Jack, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.